What'd you say?
Fucking Susan.
What a way to start the year.
Oh, wait, are you recording?
Oh my God, we're back.
We are back. Happy New Year.
Oh, was that in harmony?
Let's try. One, two, three. Happy New Year. Oh
my God. Just following each other. I don't know how like to harmonize in real life.
We live in Nashville, but we're definitely not singers. No, the two people in Nashville that aren't trying to get a record deal. How you doing, Chip? Welcome to 2022.
Thank you.
I feel like you're
how
being
weird.
Very draggy with your words.
No,
I'm good.
Well, I'm like you said, happy 2022.
Happy
it just
New
sounds
Year.
Weird.
I'm so glad.
Well, I'm really glad to put 2021 behind me.
Amen to that, sister.
But it doesn't feel like it was a full year.
What? It feels like it was 800 years to me.
Well, that is true. It feels like it was 800 years and not a year all at the same time.
I know that feeling. I feel like the last 3 years is such a blur to me that it feels like 100 or 800 mm-hmm. years, I think is what I just said.
800.
I can't even think straight because it feels like it was so many years ago. And I'm also like, wait, what year is it? Because I feel like I have no concept of time or space or anything anymore. Days of the week. Still, I feel like that. Do you?
Yeah. Yeah.
It all got lost in COVID.
I don't know. It was just my year was also kind of a whirlwind anyway. But it's, I think what makes it feel short and long to me is the life we feel like we all left behind.
Yeah.
Or the last like full year of like normalness was 2019.
Right.
And that feels like it was also yesterday.
Yeah. Even when you said that though, I was like, that was only 2 years ago. But good God, so much has happened.
Yeah.
It's a hard thing to think about, but I think everyone kind of has that same feeling. But I actually posted on Instagram, I think this was last week, but that Bernie meme was only 11 months ago.
It was
ago.
Only 11 months ago.
I'm still shook by that. Yeah. Like it feels so long ago to me.
Yeah.
Because just so much has happened. And I think we've said this a bunch, but we've gone through so much trauma together, whether it was political, COVID related, so many changes happening in our country and just culture in general. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's actually the perfect segue into this topic. I didn't even mean to do it. I just naturally segued.
Yes.
I just want to first go ahead. I mentioned this on Wednesday on the podcast, but we kind of have a new structure and I'm actually really excited about it. We're still doing the format that we mentioned to you guys where we're going to talk about on the edge. We're going to talk about a pop culture topic 1 week. We're going to do an interview with someone interesting 1 week and maybe a little edgy. But I think we've kind of restructured structured edgy to also mean... Oh, I already forgot. It's not living on the edge as in like we have to be pushing boundaries all the time, but it's like the lighter things in life.
Right.
That was what it was because
taking the edge off.
Taking the edge off because sometimes good.
Which
God.
Might sometimes mean taking your pants off.
Oh, you know? Okay. Yeah. Well, I didn't think about it that way, but it could mean that.
You can live on the edge.
You can live on the edge.
Taking off the edge.
There you go. And I think we all need that so badly right now. And a lot of the stuff I do on the Velvet can be a little heavy, intensive, especially like mentally. You're just going like, oh my God, there's more to learn always. But I love that stuff. And so I'm going to keep doing that. And then the edge will be a little bit of the lighter side of things, which it really kind of is.
And it will relate. It's all going to sort of interrelate.
So the bigger thing that we've come up with and that I'm really excited about is each month we're going to have a theme and the whole month is going to be structured around this different theme that we're working through personally and all of the guests and then the topics like the pop culture, the interviews. We're also still going to do a sex and dating week and then questions from you guys, which we just can't quit because that's our favorite thing. I was getting DMs from some people this week and they literally make Chip and I laugh out loud. So please keep them coming. You can always email us at theedge@velvetsedge.com. And that'll be a full week, 1 week of just interacting with you guys because we love it so much.
And ideally we would hope that some of those questions would sort of be within the theme of that month.
Yeah. So, okay.
So we'll
for
do it the
instance,
last week of the month so that
yes.
we've had time to sort of consume and be on brand for the
on month. Brand for yeah. the month. So for the month
on
of
topic.
So for the month of January, for instance, the topic is new beginnings because this is the season, obviously, where everyone is setting their intentions for the year. You're setting a word, like maybe we talked about on the last podcast. If you guys did come up with words, email them to us. And you might be setting resolutions, even things you want to get rid of in the last year. And so it's all about the new. It's like letting go.
Wiping the slate clean.
Good God, we need it. And it's like letting go of the things that don't serve you. And what do you want to invite into your life? And so all of the topics we talk about this month are going to be under that umbrella in some capacity. On the Velvet, like I said, I'm going to be talking about the different sort of healers that I work with and the different modes of healing. And why are you smiling?
I don't know.
And different modes of like how you can seek help or internal growth if you want. I've had a lot of people come to me and just ask, like, I want to do this kind of self-exploration and I don't know where to start. And so I'm having on Marv, who always works with me with the astrologer, a therapist to talk about talk therapy and the benefits of that. And then a somatic therapist, my breathwork instructor is going to do an interview with me and just things that I do because I think people are like overwhelmed and I just love that stuff. And so I have a lot of people that I work with and have been my teachers that are so amazing that you can just educate us. And then you and I have a couple little things at hand, which is maybe why you have this mischievous grin.
No, I was just sort of thinking like back to sort of the 21, 22, 2019 sort of conversation that we were having. Like last year at the beginning of 21, I feel like all of us were saying the same sort of things that we're saying and now, but believing that it was going to be possible. And I like actually feel like 2022, we're all like, fuck it. We have to wipe the slate clean and this is going to be a new year. And I think that we're going to see a lot of people sort of their curiosity peaked on like how to heal. There's a lot of healing that is needed.
I agree. Yeah, so. And I think, you know, Marv said this earlier this week on the podcast, but the thing in our culture, it's not going to go back to the way it was.
No, we shouldn't want that either.
And I agree. I think let's keep moving forward, but things are going to change and things are going to shift. And like, we're even seeing airports are completely understaffed. The supply chain issues, like this year is probably going to be hit with some struggles too. And I'm sure there's things we don't even know, but I think what we're bumping up against is, okay, we now have learned that we're actually kind of powerless and like life is going to happen. And so how do we deal? How do we cope? How do we heal through trauma? Like we're asking ourselves these harder questions and we just want to help with that because I know for me, these are things that I'm interested in and things I'm doing for myself because I right. need it too, you know, yeah. And I think we all do. We're all kind of seeking right now. And so if we can work together as a collective to get to those better resolves and even resolutions since it's January, I think that's going to keep us moving forward.
Yeah.
Good one. You know I love when you answer that way.
I don't always have an answer for everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's go into the topic. Okay. This is actually a really funny topic for us because there has been a time or two where this has not been the case.
I mean, shit. It was the exact opposite.
Let's talk about 2021 was maybe our year of being drunk curious. And this year for me in particular has become very sober curious.
Yeah.
So we were going to talk about that because this is our pop culture thing because it has become a little bit trendy to be sober.
Well, and it's dry January. That's really true. Popular. So
yeah, it's dry January. So I think a lot of people put the bottle down anyway. I have been not drinking now for a little over 2 months.
400 years, it feels like.
800 was 2021. Yeah. 400 years, it feels like I haven't been drinking. I actually have lost count. Like, I don't keep count of how long it's been. But it has been interesting.
Yeah.
Like, it's an interesting thing because also I've talked so much about alcohol on this podcast, on my Instagram. Like, I work with certain brands of alcohols I love. And that's gotten interesting because I'm like, oh, wait, but I'm not really even drinking right now. But I still used to love those, so I'm still going to talk about them. But yeah, it's been an interesting journey. And I think that a lot of people are starting to ask themselves these same questions that I was. And it's just more about like, what is actually my relationship with alcohol? And is this becoming something that is serving me in my life or is it something that is hindering me in my life? And I'm almost 40. So I think maybe this is why you're starting to ask these questions. And I started to think about it. And I think COVID exacerbated this a bit, but it was becoming something that was really hindering who I even was.
Yeah. Well, and how young were you when you started drinking?
I actually did not start drinking as early as a lot of people. I didn't start drinking until I was in college.
Okay.
It's not even my freshman year. I think I didn't start drinking until
late bloomer over here.
I know. But I talked about this a little bit. Like, my parents didn't really drink growing up, and so it wasn't really something I was around. I went to like a Christian high school, and yeah. nobody really drank in my friend group, and so I was a late bloomer. Then I went to LSU, and it went to really the shit hit the fan. I was like, oh, drive-through daiquiris? Okay.
Sign me up.
But I don't really know that I ever like understood what a healthy relationship with alcohol even looks like. And I still don't know that I like know what I'm doing right now as far as like, am I going to quit drinking forever? I don't know. It's just something that I was like, you know, like right now, and I'm going through a couple things that I'm really trying to do some deep introspection. It just is not serving me. Like, I don't know how else to say that.
Yeah. For me, it's like, I've often like had, I'd never even heard this term until tonight, sober curious.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I've definitely had some like sober curious thoughts. I just don't know that I've never thought that I have a problem with alcohol. I mean, yeah. I grew up in a household where my parents drank, and you know, they probably like in hindsight, they might have an alcohol problem.
Okay.
But it was never, they're completely functional. But my dad definitely like would drink himself to sleep every night, but he was also tired. So, but it wasn't like, he was never like he's not like a violent drunk, you know?
Right.
But that doesn't mean doesn't have a problem with it, you know?
Right.
And for me, I'm very different than them. Like, they drink every night. That's never been my thing. I'm more of a binge drinker. I only really drink when I want to get drunk.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, I'm not the type of person that's like needs a glass of wine or a cocktail at the end of the night to like wind down. So my relationship is like, it literally centers around having fun.
Right.
You know, so, but I've often thought like, God, would I be healthier if I just didn't drink? But it's hard to picture my life not drinking.
Well, I think especially in the music industry, it is like such a
staple.
It's
everywhere.
Yeah, it's like what you do.
Yeah.
I actually don't even know if it's specific to the music industry. I think it's a lot of industries, but
I think it's any business.
It's like going to any event, there's going to be alcohol. And that was for many years. I think I've kind of like had this thought before, or I've stopped drinking before, where I'll just be like, ugh, like grossed out, or a dry January kind of right. situation. And I would get anxiety about certain things like, oh, but what about being on the road at this time? Or like, I would start thinking about it. And this time, because I had so much other stuff going on, I was just like, I gotta stop. Like, I gotta put this down.
And there's never a perfect time.
No, and it just can't be a factor. And actually, when I decided, like, it was the day that I decided, I was like, well, I'm not gonna drink. I didn't put, y'all were all kind of like, well, for how long? Because we had some friends doing November. Like, what is that called? It's not no shade.
No booze November.
Well, whatever they were doing, they were just doing it for November. And they were like, oh, you're just not drinking for November. And I just was like, no, I don't really know how long. Like, and I still feel that way. I'm just sort of like going with it. And it really has been interesting because it has not been hard.
Yeah.
I was so worried about going to certain events or before going to certain events, being in situations where everyone's drunk. And I just don't even care. Isn't that weird?
Well, you know what's funny is when I lived in New York, I mean, so this was years ago. I haven't done this in years.
Mm-hmm.
I would do a sober month. It was never January. It was always like...
You're such a rebel. You would April?
the one that I remember the most, I did like mid-October to mid-November.
Okay.
And when I planned to do it, it never occurred to me that my birthday fell in it and Halloween, which when, you know, Halloween used to be like one of my favorite nights of the year.
Yeah.
And so I had to do both of those sober, and I stuck to it. The thing that I noticed the most was how annoying people are when they're drunk.
It's a lot to tolerate.
Like, you get caught, like, I would get cornered by the worst people who wanted to say the same thing to me over and over and over again. But what I loved about it was I could go out and have a great night of fun with friends, and I remembered everything that happened.
Yeah, you're like, remember last night when you did this?
Yes, I remembered everything.
Yeah, and you're not the person that anyone's telling this story about, and you're not the person that's like, oh God, I don't even remember that.
Right, and to those people that were like really annoying that corner you and talk too much, like you can kind of say anything back to them.
Oh, because they won't remember
They don't remember, it. Yeah.
Yeah, it is interesting. I mean, I think I told you, I haven't had any, like, there's been a couple moments where I'm sort of like, oh, it would be nice to be able to have a drink. Mostly what I've noticed is it's the action of taking a cup to my mouth. Right. I swear to God, it is that mindless. And that was another reason I just sort of wanted to take a pause, at least, is because I just realized like I wasn't drinking consciously. Like right. There wasn't a part of me that was like, I'm going to have this wonderful glass of wine with this meal because it's going to taste really good and whatever. It was just more so a habit, or it became this thing that became a habit. And before I knew it, I was drinking every day just like as a thing I did.
Right.
And I don't like that. I personally found myself not being very creative. Like I wasn't sleeping well. I'm already an emotional person. And so like it got me way more in my feels, and like, it's just not a good feeling. I've literally like also lost immediately 5 pounds. Like it drains from your face. It's like, I didn't realize how bloated my face was even. And it could be just having, you know, a glass or two of wine a night, but it's just that idea of that even. I'm like, right. How did that become the thing? And I'm telling you, I think it was COVID. A lot of it. Like,
I remember the beginning, I started drinking excessive amounts of wine at the beginning of COVID, and I had to make a choice. Like, I would drink 2 bottles a night.
Yeah.
Because I was on Zoom, like playing games with friends. It was kind of at the beginning point where
it was still, we all thought it was isolation.
Like, we just got like a few weeks off of work.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was like, I can't keep doing this. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't like, I didn't think I had any sort of problem. It was just like, wow, this is getting out of control.
Mm-hmm.
But it never got to the point where it became even 2 drinks a night for me. Like, mm-hmm. I just stopped doing it.
Well, you also live by yourself. I think it was like, it becomes a habit, especially for me in a coupleship. Like you're sort of like, it's like the thing you do, you know?
Right.
And
yeah.
It's just like with dinner, you have drinks, or then you sit and chat by the fire and have a drink. And like, I just realized like that wasn't really how I functioned before. And so all of a sudden, why is this how I'm functioning? And is this like me being me?
Were you doing it for you, or were you doing it for him?
Right. Yeah. Or like, was I just doing it out of not even thinking about it? Like just unconsciously doing it. And so anyway, if I ever do decide to bring alcohol back in my life, that is something I want to be really aware of, is the conscious piece of drinking and like, be intentional. And that's with everything in our lives, right? So why are we just so mindlessly drinking alcohol?
Yeah. I mean, I've definitely noticed, like sometimes when I've been, we're like over at Mary's house, because of my dogs, I have to get home.
That's true.
And I often, I don't even know if you all notice, but I'll only have like 2 drinks. And then I just move to her. She's got the most amazing ice machine.
Yeah, it's
exciting. I would drink water and chew on ice.
I definitely didn't notice.
Yeah, it was because I didn't want to have to like spend $80 in Ubers, like getting home and then coming back for my car. I just wanted to be able to go home. So I know that I'm capable of like consciously drinking, but I feel like my conscious choice often is just like, okay, we're here to party. Let's do it.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I don't know if there's anything wrong with that either. I just think we live in this culture that it's good to start asking these questions, because how did binge drinking and drinking so heavily just become the norm?
Well, I think there's a lot of advertising dollars that
for sure
play into it, you know? And it's, shit, look, we've all been to a fun bar.
Well, it's why we were drinking when we were doing this podcast. Yeah, I mean, like, I'm sure people are listening and they're like,
oh God, here we go.
James sober the channel.
Hey, for the record, I still drink, so.
Chip will be drinking for both of us.
Oh my God,
now.
Maybe I should start drinking and you're, while we record.
I'll be the sober.
I'll be like, yeah.
Yeah. All you say is yeah the whole podcast. That'll be interesting. Well, it's funny, if you are a Sex and the City watcher, I'm sure that you've noticed the thing. If you're not, right, Chip?
No.
But this is why it's a pop culture. God, you really are. No Kardashians and no Sex and the City. Nope. Like, what kind of gay are you?
I've dabbled with Sex and the City, but
oh, you've dipped your toe. You're a Sex and the City curious.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
But so one of the characters, Miranda, is kind of, they're hinting at the fact that maybe she's alcoholic. And so that's become a big storyline on the show. And she's just revealed, and sorry, this is a spoiler alert if you're behind, but she's just revealed that she's unhappy in her life. And so she's drinking to medicate. And I know for me, that was a thing too, is like, I would find myself in uncomfortable situations in my life, and I'm medicating whatever uncomfortable feeling I have about drinking. And you're just kind of going with it, you know? And like, again, that's what I was saying about it being unconscious. You're just trying to stuff your feelings, and it's similar to things I have said in the Velvet side of things, where I just am so frustrated right now with our culture, and I'm excited that we're starting to have these conversations, but like, why do we not know how to medicate or help ourselves through life without drinking, moving on to the next relationship, doing drugs, like medicating, I guess, in general? Why do we not know how to do that? That's really sad, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's probably just a lot of conditioning that...
It's just programming.
Yeah,
it's all we've learned. Yeah. But like, so maybe that's why like we're doing
it's
these podcasts.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Right. You know what I mean? It's like, think of all those coping mechanisms that we've learned that are just completely...
unhealthy.
Yeah, and but they're like completely socially acceptable too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and talking about sobriety has been... It's like, what's the word that I'm looking for? It's like you're a leper.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? It's like you're the outcast.
Yeah.
Alcoholics Anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's something that it's so, we don't even want to talk about.
They're like, oh, he doesn't drink. Oh, he has a problem. Drink. Yeah.
He goes to meetings.
Right. Like that's a bad thing.
Right.
And it's actually like we were talking
about
this before.
You're choosing to work on yourself.
Yeah.
It should actually be something like, that's celebrated.
Right, because it's actually one of the bravest things you can do, 100%. To go against the grain, to face yourself, look at why, the whys behind why you're drinking. Drinking is a symptom of a lot of stuff, right? It's not, like the drinking is just a symptom is what I've learned, or the drugging, or whatever you're doing. It's like, there's a reason behind it.
Yeah.
So you're going into that being brave enough to ask those questions, which is a lot more than a lot of people can say.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting here overweight, single, sometimes unhappy, saying, I don't have a problem with drinking. You know what I mean? It's like...
Everybody has their different things.
Right. So yeah. It's there's probably plenty of questions that I could ask myself. Yeah, it's like... And everyone that I know that doesn't drink or has stopped drinking, it always blows my mind how much time they seem to have.
Well, right, because also you're not hungover ever.
You're not hungover. You're not... Your social calendar is very different.
Yeah.
You know, you're putting focus on so many other things.
Well, I told you this earlier, but I used to say, when people are like, well, what do you do for fun? And I was like, drink with my friends. Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's like, I don't really know that I've thought about, oh, what hobbies do I want to have? Or it's always just, I want to see my friends when I actually have the time to do anything but work or anything else, you know? And it just revolves around drinking. And the thing is, though, that for me personally, it's helped me to still stay social, because I think if I stopped drinking and stopped doing so much social events, I would feel really depressed.
Well, do you think that, okay, I was just imagining us at a show and like, mm-hmm. we're a few tequilas in and you're like, woo, we're like letting loose.
Yeah.
Do you think like what is really going on is that because we're not in tune enough with ourselves and loving ourselves enough for who we are, that we need that alcohol to sort of give us the permission to be ourselves?
100%.
Yeah.
I think it's all, they always call it the social lubricant, right?
Yeah.
And I will say, maybe that's why in the past I've had so much more anxiety about, oh, I can't not drink. Like, you know, like, and where now I'm telling you, I've gone to shows, I've gone to multiple shows since I've stopped drinking, or I've gone in to parties even. And it's just like, I was ordering mocktails. I told you this, but I've now quit that because I realized it's all sugar. But
that's a worse hangover.
Oh, it just makes me feel terrible. But I just will drink like a soda water or something if I feel like I need something. But that's what I was saying. It's literally like the act of moving a glass to my mouth or chewing ice, like you said, would help too. But it's like, really not that big of a deal. I have bought now some non-alcoholic wine, or like I found a non-alcoholic tequila that I like. So when I go to a party, sometimes I bring that. The other thing I've realized is it makes other people more uncomfortable than it actually makes you.
Yeah.
And so like me even having a glass of wine in my hand, they won't know that it's alcohol or not alcohol.
No.
And so it's just like,
that's what I did in my sober month. It would always be just soda water and a lime.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was mentioning this before we started recording, our friend Allison, who doesn't drink and never has.
Yeah.
And not because she has a problem. It's just, she was never interested. And the girl parties harder than anybody. And she's always one of the last ones to leave the party.
Yeah.
And she's always the life of the party. She said it's the same thing. Like, it's more her being And I don't even know if sober is the right word for her.
She doesn't drink.
Her not drinking is more uncomfortable for other people than it is for her. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, when she meets somebody new and they're like, "Can I get you a drink?" She's no, I don't drink. They're like, "Well, what do you do?" They like expect her to have another vice. Like, do you do cocaine? Like, right. Do you smoke weed? Like heroin? Like, what's your vice?
Yeah.
And she, her, the way that she likes to disarm the situation is she says, "I'm a Christian." Just to make people feel bad.
Oh, like yeah. It's like against my religion. I mean,
she is a Christian, but right? She pulls that joke out just to be like
make them even more uncomfortable. Well, yeah, because
it's like you know, it's like she tries to make herself sound even more square and judgy. Mm-hmm. You know,
It is funny to watch people squirm.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's interesting, but it's been in the news a lot recently because I think Megan Fox has started talking openly about how she quit drinking in 2009 after going to an award show. I think it was the Golden Globes. You know how they serve champagne? Yes. People always get so shit-faced. And she did an interview after and just said a bunch of stuff that I think she was like kind of berated for after. And she was like, that was when I realized like I just can't drink alcohol because I become somebody or I don't have a filter, you know, but become somebody I'm not really. So that was for her. Jennifer Garner really has talked a lot about the COVID drinking thing.
Yeah.
And she was like, before I knew it, it was like you reward yourself after a day with your kids with a glass of wine. And then before you know it, it's two and then it's three. And it's just like, that's exactly what happened to me. It was just like a habit thing that developed that it just becomes this crutch that you're like, oh yeah, let's do this. And then you're drunk and taking medicine charcoal pills before you go to bed so you don't feel like shit the next day so you can get up and do it all over again. And I just was so exhausted of it. It was like maybe a part of why all of my world started to feel like it was compounding, you know? It's just like, because you can't operate as your best self.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, it's funny to think like the irony of like, oh, I'm going to have this to unwind rather than just like taking some deep breaths and unwinding.
Or meditating. How about that?
Yes. Yeah.
Like those are the things that I'm saying is we really as a society have done a disservice to ourselves. And like, I think this is just everyone's just doing the best that they can and you're passing on what you've been taught. But maybe this is what's happening right now in our universe is like, okay, we're going to get hit with a bunch of shit and you can't just drink your way through this one because it's going to keep going. And like, if you drink your way through it, then you're going to need to go to a meeting to deal with that.
Right.
Or you're going to get sick. Like I was telling you about, there are so many really bad effects on our bodies that we just don't even, everyone's like aware of cirrhosis of the liver, but like there's a huge impact of alcohol on our brains. There's a huge impact of alcohol on the rise of cancer, especially in women, the breast cancer numbers. Like they're saying the contribution of alcohol is huge for that. Brain chemistry in general, just the effects of like what I was talking about emotionally. Like how many times have you been in bed on a Sunday and you're like, oh Jesus, it's just like the most lonesome day ever. Yeah. And you have that emotional hangover.
Yeah. Or it's you're thinking about like, what did I do last night?
Yeah. It's a Sunday scary. Yeah, nobody Sunday likes scares, those. Yeah. Yeah, so I think one of the things I read about, so alcohol, let's see, alcohol is associated with other disease, injuries, and harms, liver disease, impact on the brain, like I just said, impact on the heart. Women who drink excessively are at an increased risk for damage to the heart muscles at lower levels of consumption and over fewer years of drinking than men. So they're saying it's harder on women's bodies because we don't process it as easily, like it doesn't break down in our bodies as easily as men. And so, you know, I would try to go toe to toe a lot of times with the guys around me. And I'm like,
you often did.
I did. I mean, that's a part of being from Louisiana, I guess. Yeah. You just like, you can drink, but like, it's not good for my body. And I'm like, I'm light, like I'm a little person. So it's just interesting that we could drink the way that we did, but it doesn't mean it's doing good for my insides.
Yeah. It's funny. I'm really conflicted because I don't think that I'm anywhere near a point of doing what you're doing. And I'm fully aware of the implications of not doing it, you know? So it's like, I think that's why it's kind of a weird conversation because I'm, you know, I of course support you and support anyone who wants to take this journey and like, shit, I should be paying a little bit more attention to my health, you know? But I, you know, it's, not to like poke holes in it. It's just, what, like, is there a world that exists without alcohol?
No, you know? I don't think like, so.
I
don't think so.
Yeah, like, so what is that what's the happy balance?
I think that's the exact question, right? That's why it's called sober curious. It's like, I don't know that you need to even think about that. You know what I mean? But I think you could ask yourself the question and contemplate like, oh, how am I drinking? Why am I drinking? Like, it's just asking yourself the questions to be aware enough of the whys, or if it is affecting your life in a negative way, like to even ask yourself the questions. That's all I'm saying.
Right,
like,
yeah.
I'm not trying to sit on some high horse over here and be like, oh, I stopped drinking, so you should, or everybody should. Like, I don't think everyone needs to stop drinking. And I don't know that I'm going to not drink forever. It's not really, that's not really the point. It's like in 6 months, I could be like, yeah, I'm going to have a glass of wine. But I want to be aware of like the whys, like I said. And I just want to be aware of what I'm drinking.
Like
and
conscious drinking.
Conscious drinking.
Yeah, yeah. It's so funny. I'm also like thinking how, I think legally they have to do this, but like in ads for drink products, they always say drink responsibly.
Right. As they show people like partying and whatever,
right,
driving.
Right, right. I don't think they show them driving, okay, but they might show them as passengers, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, maybe it should say like drink consciously.
Oh, that's a good. That actually, why is the advertising not switching to like, but they lose money though.
Yeah,
way.
I mean, it's a business. It's a massive mm-hmm. business. You look mm-hmm. at someone like, I mean, it's my favorite brand, like Casamigos.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fairly young brand. It's a $1 billion brand.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of money in this space. I mean, alcohol, like think about it. It's like there was a time in America where you weren't legally allowed to drink.
Yeah.
Yet everyone was still doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in Louisiana, the year before I went to college, this was such a sweet kill by Louisiana. But literally, the drinking age was 18. And so
it
switched to 21 the year that I went to college, which was bullshit. But yeah, I mean, like it's a lot has changed, I think, with that. But with as far as the point of that you're making about the money, I was telling you earlier that Bella Hadid is a part of this new company called Ken Euphorics. So they are creating these new drinks. Like this one it's really good for brain health. And apparently there's a relaxing one and one that's a little more stimulating. Probably I would imagine like a healthy Red Bull. But so if you go to parties, you have this option of like having the stimulation that you might be getting from drinking or not feeling so not a part of because you're drinking something, but it's a healthy version. It's non-alcoholic. There's like mushroom adaptogens in it. So it's all good for your body versus like, I mean, honestly, alcohol is like poison, right? So it's like breaking down things in your body. And these could be the next like $1 billion companies, I guess is my point. If we start thinking about this, apparently like a lot of the younger generations and millennials are actually thinking in this mindset of sober curious.
I mean, it's like, it's making me like sort of look back at my life with like a weird reflection because I can't imagine it not drinking.
Oh yeah. Well, I can't imagine looking back at my life. I'm like, that's too many fun times.
What would I have done? God.
I don't know. I think it's just like people go through seasons too. And it's just like, it's just where people are. And like, I don't know. It's just where I am right now. And I don't even know. Is this the lighter side of things? This feels like so heavy
we're talking about it. Well, I mean, I think it's important to mention this too, is that there are actual people that have neurological reasons why they shouldn't drink.
Oh, like
because they're the way that they process the enjoyment of alcohol leads to alcoholism, and it's something that's so beyond just binge drinking. Mm-hmm. And so,
yeah, you know, sober curious could be like a little bit offensive to certain people, and we're not meaning it in that way capacity.
You know, yeah, I think that there are, you know, obviously people that have neurological reasons why, mm-hmm. You know, substance abuse is a very real thing for them.
Sure.
It's a disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, a lot of these products, like this Gigi Hadid thing, it's like, it's amazing.
It's
because
actually Bella.
Oh, sorry.
Again, they're terrible gay.
They're both brilliant women that have amazing backgrounds. So, mm-hmm. Whatever. my point was, is like having options like this, like, will hopefully for people like that, sort of help them nip it in the bud before it gets to what it would naturally have been in a normal society that's pushing alcohol on everybody.
That's the point,
yeah.
Right? Like it's about asking the questions to then maybe not to take the stigma away, first of all, but then also to normalize, hey, you don't have to drink.
Right.
Like, drinking isn't actually what makes every situation so much fun. Sure, it can amp things up and it can take things down. I mean, it just depends on the kind of drinking you're doing. And I just think it's like, we should just be giving people the option of like, drink if you want, don't if you don't want to. It doesn't have to be so life or death that you drink or don't drink. Like,
well, it's funny to think like none of the like cola companies thought
cola,
you know, like Coca-Cola or Sprite or whatever.
I know,
like,
we call everything Coke though.
Yeah, like cola, none of the soda companies, whatever,
pop
companies.
This is a big debate. What do you
to be
it?
Like, you know, have your night out with Coca-Cola and like make it a thing, or is like cool to drink.
A Coke at the party, getting wild, you know, getting what
I
loose.
Mean? I don't feel like that the marketing's ever been that.
No, it's enjoy it's a Coke like, with a smile.
Right, like refreshing in the afternoon, you know.
Right. Yeah, I mean, but alcohol is a social lubricant. It makes things looser. It makes things easier. It as like in a dating scenario, I'm thinking about that already. I'm like, oh my God, am I going to not drink when I finally get ready to start dating again? That is going to be awkward.
Well, maybe you'll find out sooner if someone's not for
you. More compatible.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll date another person who doesn't drink.
I mean, I would imagine that alcohol sort of contributes to like you thinking that a date is going so much better than it actually is.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know what I mean? Like on both sides. Beer goggles. Yeah. On both sides, you're like. Yeah.
Well, I will say this. I think that removing alcohol from the equation for me, like even when we go to party, you were talking about how people like it helps you become your own self. What I'm realizing is in my life in general, I'm really working hard to become the most authentic version of myself that I can for right now. You know, it's like every day is like learning something new about myself. And I mean, it's a journey that we're on for the rest of our lives. But I think with that exploration has come some confidence in like, here's who I am. And
like it or leave it.
Yeah. Like sometimes I'm really hyper and like I'm real chatty and whatever. And then sometimes I'm really shy and quiet. And like all of those things are okay. And I don't need to like be forcing myself to pound tequila so that I can be what I need to be in that scenario consistently. Like it's okay to be.
Well, you can probably be quiet and loud on tequila too. I'm sure. You cry. I've definitely seen it like
true.
Make you go in.
Yeah, it can be all the things, but I think that also what else it's made me realize is like if I am not enjoying people's company, because I think a lot of times I know I drink when I'm like feeling forced in conversations, or I'm like, oh, I'm gonna go get another drink when it's like an uncomfortable situation.
You know? Yeah.
And I have another friend who we were talking about this, and he said, I was at this party, it was after the CMAs, and literally I realized I was having the conversation was really stupid. And he basically like looked at his wife and he was like, yeah, it's time for us to go. Like, cause it's like, you start to realize I don't need to force myself to have these conversations. And if I'm feeling like I need another drink to be around this person, they're probably not a person I need in my life.
Right, right.
Like that's the kind of things that I'm starting to think about is if I can't be comfortable in certain scenarios without alcohol, I don't need to be in that fucking scenario.
It's a great point.
And I sit with you guys as you're drinking, feel totally fine. I never even think about it.
Right.
That's the thing. Like we went to Corner Pub not that long ago and you guys all had drinks and wings and whatever. And I just like sat and chatted because y'all are my best friends. And like, I feel totally comfortable and confident in myself.
Yeah. I mean, I mentioned Allison before. She's one of my favorite people to be around.
Totally.
You know, and it never occurs to me that she's not drinking.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
So. I mean.
I was giving you a yeah back.
Yeah.
See how hard it is?
Yeah, it's hard to recover from that.
It's tricky. You're kind of like, okay, where do I go from here? Yeah.
God, you need a drink.
That's it. I'm not super curious anymore. Podcasts with Chip are too hard.
Maybe I should just drink.
Maybe. There's, you know, an open bottle of wine in there.
Is it the non-alcoholic stuff?
No, Annie was here. Oh, anyway, Ruby Warrington was the one who coined the term sober curious. And she said, I realized that a lot of people felt the same way as me. They knew alcohol could be problematic for them, but they didn't see themselves as alcoholics. They were afraid to either talk about it and didn't have an outlet or an open discussion for the problems even normal drinkers experience. She published the book called Sober Curious, encouraging people to change their relationship with alcohol and stop drinking on autopilot. That's the perfect word to talk That's about what I was word, saying. Yeah. There's also a big book, and I mentioned Sex in the City earlier, but Charlotte sent Miranda this book called Quit Like a Woman. And you found a really interesting article about... Yeah,
I
mean,
I was just, in researching, I was like, is sobriety hip, was what
searched. Yeah, oh yeah, I loved this article.
And I landed on a website called hipsobriety.com. Mm-hmm. And it was actually by it's a blog that was started by the author of Quit Like a Girl, Quit Like a Woman. And it basically it starts with a manifesto of, you know, why and how to quit. Mm-hmm. And then in the about section, it's her story when she sort of hit her own rock bottom and realized that she had a problem with drugging. She was smoking a lot of weed, mm-hmm, and cigarettes, mm-hmm, and she was also bulimic. Mm. And she went to a doctor about it. She knew that she needed help. Her life was spiraling out of control. And the options that her doctor gave her just did not work for her because she didn't want to go away for a month. She couldn't afford it.
Oh, yeah. Like intensives are expensive. Yeah. And or rehab or whatever it is.
Yeah, and so she decided that she was going to create her own way to sobriety.
Yeah.
And she created a program for herself. And this was in 2012 that it happened. And she said her life... She is now living the life that she dreamed of. Mm-hmm. And she has a website now called Tempest, I think.
Okay.
And it's like an online resource that can help you get sober if you want. And sort of... I haven't dug that deep into it, but I think it's like the program
Susan
is designed.
Susan is going to be so pissed.
Well, at least I'm not researching right now. But the point that I was going to make was, I don't think it's just. I think this program you can use for other things. Like, I think the majority of it is about sobriety from drinking. Mm-hmm. But if it is a food addiction, or I think they can work with you on that too.
And I think again, it's like what we said, because I think a lot of addiction, it scares me a little bit to kind of talk about this. And like, you actually read that to me earlier, and I do 12-step programs. I'm not an AA, but I do other ones. And it makes me a little nervous to put that around. Like when someone says something like, you know, AA wasn't for me, but so I created my own program. That would literally, if you go to AA, I promise you, they would be like, okay, well, you're not ready to get sober yet. Cause like, if you have a true problem with something like that, and it is an addiction, you can't just put it down. Like, it is virtually impossible to just like be like, you know what, I'm just going to quit drinking. And this is why I said to you before we started, I was like, I know I'm not an alcoholic, because like, it has not been hard for me. But it has served my life. I will be honest that it has served my life to not have it in it for right now.
Right. Because you don't have a substance abuse disorder. It's a very different thing.
Well, I don't, that's not my drug of choice, let's say.
Right.
So like, yeah. So I don't, it's just been like, okay, I'm going to cut that out because I'm working on myself in these other capacities that I do want to lay down my codependency and the other things that alcohol actually really exacerbates sometimes. And I have to be honest with myself about that, you know, like, was it serving me in any forms of my life? Or like right now, is it going to be? And like, I don't really see an upside. So like, can I just eliminate the factor?
Yeah.
But if it was my drug of choice, I don't think it would be the thing for me to just be like, you know what, I'm just going to quit drinking today. Well, like that's like a joke.
Well, I'll read a little bit of what she says, because I do think that it needs some context, because she, and I'm putting words in her mouth, but it wasn't just about, it was figuring out, she figured out the why of why she needed to stop all of these things.
She talked about that's what I was saying 12-step programs are so good for,
right,
which is why I have the most respect for anyone
who figured out the why, because she was depressed. Mm-hmm. Her relationships were all bad. The drinking was, getting sober was not a consequence of that. Mm-hmm. She freed herself of the drinking so that she could work on the other things.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah.
Right. And she says in her About Me, in the story, she says, sobriety isn't just about quitting alcohol and drugs. It's about getting after your best life and having everything that you've ever dreamed of. It's about living the way that other people won't live so that you can live the way that most people can't live.
I love that.
Yeah. I mean,
well, I told you this about 12-step programs in general. They've taught me how to tell the truth on stuff and how to be vulnerable and be real. Like any sort of work that you're doing, and I think what she's referencing that too, is like she's digging deeper and learning how to live a life that a lot of people don't even even know to address or get the chance to live, or ask themselves the hard questions to walk through that, the pain to get to the other side. You know, it's like there are, I think it's like a really amazing mentality to look at all the positives and like keep the focus on that versus like, oh no, I've got to stop drinking, or oh shoot, like this is depressing that I should stop drinking. Like it doesn't have to be. It actually can be the most empowering, beautiful thing. Like, especially like I'm a person who loves to eat healthy, right? And then I'm sitting here like poisoning myself with tequila and wine. It's like, it's very contradictory of the rest of my life. And so when you start to think of it as a health thing that you're doing for yourself, or a way that you're taking care of your mental health, even, it's very empowering. And it's just like, it's not that big of a fucking deal.
Right. She does note that it's not easy.
Yeah.
You know, like this is not, she says, it's not all rosy. Life is still complicated, fucked up, and hard. It's just all that now without this, all that now without the sense of just waiting to die and pointlessness and slog of hangovers.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let anyone ever tell you that it's just a fairy tale. Nothing is a fairy tale.
That's absolutely true.
True. Yeah. It's like, but I think if you're living the best version of yourself, it's your fairy tale.
Oh, that's, you know, a nice, like, spin.
Well, yeah, because I think we all have a common idea of what a fairy tale looks
That's
like.
That's true.
Because that is the conditioning that we've grown up with.
Well, we were talking about that earlier. It's just like your life doesn't have to look like everyone else's for it to be an amazing life.
Right.
I think something she just said, and I already forgot it. Shoot.
Is it about?
There was a lot. Oh, it doesn't make it easy. I will say, when you remove the alcohol, you realize all the feelings you're pushing down. So a lot of times, it gets worse before it gets better.
Right,
so if you do find yourself and you're like, oh, I do feel like I'm probably medicating, or like I'm medicating this breakup. How about I say it like that? Like that's an example that I think a lot of people do. Or like you're miserable in your relationship, or like you're stressed out at work. And so you have a drink and it's like, what are you avoiding feeling with the alcohol? And so that is a lot of the stuff that initially comes up when you stop drinking and you don't have your medicators, and it's super uncomfortable. Like I have had days like that, you know, like I've been going through some stuff and I've talked openly on here about going through a breakup recently. And it's not like there are not days where I'm like, God, I wish I could numb out. Like,
right.
I don't want to fucking feel this. It feels terrible.
Right.
But instead, I just cry my way through it and try to get to the other side. And typically, I actually feel better because I'm releasing the real thing happening.
Well, yeah, because you're doing the work.
Yeah, I guess that's
you're doing
that's
the
called.
Work. It's like, I can't imagine. Like, I would imagine a lot of people at bars who are there, like trying to meet somebody or hook up or whatever it is. Like,
yeah.
The drinking makes them feel sexier.
Oh God, yeah.
Can you imagine, like, trying to do that sober?
What are you trying to scare me?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's like terrifying to me.
Well,
the truth is I don't feel sexy. So it's like,
but that's the point.
Right.
Those are the things to address, not to drink more to feel sexier. Cause that's also like a false.
But
sense
is it,
of,
but it's a catch 22 because if drinking does make you feel sexy, then maybe that's,
but is that a real feeling of sexy?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I think it's like, look, the conversation, you know, we're obviously, neither of us are experts on this topic, but I think everyone, it's your personal responsibility to address your relationship with alcohol. And if you think you have any level of problem with it, you probably do.
Yeah.
You know, and look, that doesn't mean that there's plenty of people can sit around and be like, I don't have a problem with it. And they actually have a problem with it. But I think if you have any sort of doubt about like where your relationship with alcohol sits.
But that also takes a lot of vulnerability to admit.
Totally.
I'm thinking of a lot of situations where I just know, yeah, that's a hard one to face.
Yeah. And it's like, here, this is me just trying to be a little bit vulnerable about it too. It's like, if I'm saying like, wow, I can't imagine my life without alcohol, does that mean I have a problem with it?
I don't know.
Or does that mean that I've figured out how it fits in my life and I'm content with that, you know?
But I think the point is you're asking the questions.
Right.
That's all sober curiosity is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, I don't know. I hate that at store. I was like, oh my God, this is going to be the lighter side of things. And we're like, stop drinking.
Well, I'm not saying stop drinking.
I know. I'm saying I stopped drinking.
Yeah, you said you stopped drinking.
And I think it's just it's like an interesting topic to think about. And those are the things that I like to bring to this podcast. And it is very pop culture relevant because so many celebrities are actually openly saying, yeah, like I realized I was kind of overdoing it here. And maybe it was time to just put that down for a minute. Yeah, or for life, it's or funny. Forever, whatever.
You know, my man crush, Dax Shepard.
You like Dax?
Yeah, I mean,
do you ever listen to that podcast called Armchair Expert? I've never heard you talk about that.
There must be a new episode. It's the new year.
Oh my God, oh my God.
But, you know, he's sober, but he talks about how much he loves alcohol, you know? Like,
I mean, I love alcohol. Yeah. Who doesn't love to just have a good cocktail?
Totally, yeah.
Now I just have a good mocktail. No, good does mocktail. It doesn't have quite the same ring.
No. I hate the word mocktail.
Can I tell you something embarrassing? You go around the table at dinner lately when we've been like ordering drinks, or y'all order y'all's drinks, and I'm like, y'all are like, oh, can I get a tequila soda and like a splash of grapefruit or whatever you order, and like everyone else throws in their order and they get to me and I'm like,
Shirley Temple.
Well, I'm like, can I do the same thing but without the alcohol? And they're like, what? And I'm like, can you just do a fucking mocktail? Like I have to, then nobody understands right. when you first order. And so I have to like say it three or four times.
A club soda with lime.
Well, that's what I'm going to start doing because I don't want all the sugar.
Yeah.
Actually, last time,
because that's what my drink would be without
the totally. Alcohol. The last couple of times I've just gotten water. I just don't care anymore. I like have
water's
some.
Water's so good. I love water.
That's a shirt. Water's so good. I love water. Oh my God.
Add it to the list.
Shipisms.
Add it to the list.
I'm so glad you love water.
I do love water.
We have a friend who only drinks Diet Coke.
I have a friend that never drinks water. Who's the friend that only drinks Diet Coke?
Courtney. Shut up.
Really? Does she not drink water?
We're working on it.
My friend Rachel never drinks water.
It's really good for you. I'm so glad you love water.
I love it.
This is a side tangent. Anyway, I've just been drinking water, but I think it's more about me getting confident inside myself and not giving a fuck. I also just like, I have so many bigger fish to fry right now. I just do. Like, I'm just like, I want to get my life back. And the last 3 years has just been,
not today, Satan.
And then today I'm saying not today, Satan. We are not going there. So yeah. Anyway, that's what I'm doing. Thank you guys for...
Well, I also read... Wait, there are some...
Excuse me, I was thanking the people.
Oh, you were thanking them. Well, I was going to say, there's also a new trend of like sober social places.
What?
Yeah, there's a place in Los Angeles called Remedy Place.
What is this?
On Sunset Boulevard. It's...
What?
It's all mocktails.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it opened in 2019.
I bet they're good.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll try that out next time I go to LA.
I think it's a alternative place for people to go that like don't want to go to a bar. They don't want to just go have dinner with a friend.
Right.
And they can go to a social setting that feels like a bar, but there's no alcoholic temptation.
Actually, I'm glad you said that because I was listening to a podcast that was talking about this place in Austin, and it's the same thing. It's actually a bar.
It's called Sans Bar, I think.
Yeah, how do you know this?
I saw it.
Oh, yeah, it's called Sans Bar, and it's a bar, so you can go socialize with other people who don't drink, and they serve mocktails and stuff, and I think that's a great idea because it's like...
Sometimes it literally is just about like getting out of your house and having a fun environment.
That's the hardest part to me about, or that was the scariest thing about... putting down alcohol was like, well, what am I going to do? And I don't want to miss out on the fun. Like you start to think about FOMO and it's like, you don't have to. You can still go do all this stuff. Like we went curling last week and I had a blast. Y'all all had drinks and I still just curled. And I had curling is like a, if you don't just Google it, I don't know.
Well, you know, what's funny is I feel like the coffee industry really benefited from the fact that there weren't like, you know, because someone's like, hey, you want to get a drink or a coffee? Like, in case you don't drink, you know, like, I think that's really, I mean, most coffee places aren't open late at night, but like, I'm thinking in terms of like when I'm trying to set up a meeting, like, let's grab a bite or a drink or a coffee.
Yeah. You know? I've still been saying, sure, let's go grab a drink. And then I just dropped a bomb when I'm there and I'm like, I'll just have a soda water.
Give me some ice water.
People are like, wait, what? I'm telling you, it makes other people more uncomfortable.
It really helps your wallet too.
Oh my God.
Unless you're drinking $15 mocktails.
Yeah, but think about the last couple of dinners we went to, and I told you my bill was like ridiculously low. It's crazy. Yeah. Anyway, that is what I'm doing. And I just was going to say earlier, thank you guys for being on the journey, whether I'm drunk on a martini or sober. And I don't know really what the journey is going to look like. But if you have questions for me or you're doing the same thing and you're getting sober curious, email me at kelly@velvetsedge. You guys know that at velvetsedge.com. I forgot to finish that.
She's not drunk.
Actually not drunk. What's my excuse going to be now? Jesus. I do always love sharing in like-minded stories. It really helps me. It always helps me to hear you guys' stories. So email me there. You can also email us your stories of being too drunk, or maybe why you're considering being sober curious, or why you think this is all just a bunch of bullshit at theedge@velvetsedge.com. Maybe you're more on Chip's train and you're just like, wait, do I need to think about this? Like, those would be good questions for people to ask, don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, in some ways it's, I've feel a little hypocritical and judged by even talking about it.
You do?
And, well, no. And it's like self-judgment.
Okay. Oh, okay.
It's totally self-judgment. Because I obviously want to, like, I mean, I feel like I would be a sociopath if I didn't want to be the best version of myself, you know? Like,
yeah, there's a lot of people like
but
that.
But I also
though.
Like drinking.
But I don't, yeah, but why do you have to, like, put it down?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, Chip's gonna.
I'm conflicted, I guess.
Just pray about this and get back to us, okay?
Oh, God.
Meditate on it tonight. Let us know what happens for you. Post about it on Instagram or something. Okay. That seems like the thing people do.
I got so much Casamigos for Christmas. I can't
get it. Oh, you've got to drink it then. It was a Christmas gift. That would be
rude. Yeah.
Yeah, I hate for it to go to waste.
Not an ad. Not an ad.
Hashtag Casamigos. Call us. Listen, I'm not drinking you, but like still call us. Yeah.
Do you have any non-alcoholic Casamigos?
Oh my God. That's the next thing. Honestly, Ritual is the brand of tequila I've been drinking. It's a little smokier than I prefer, but it's kind of great.
Yeah.
I'm like learning how to create new mocktail cocktails. I don't know. Maybe I'll open a sober bar.
Oh my God. That's a great idea.
We'll see how long this lasts, though, first. I'm like 2 months in starting all these businesses, and I'm like, shit, I actually want to drink. Anyway, you guys keep in touch with us at theedge@velvetsedge.com. You can always hit me up on Instagram at velvetsedge. Chip is?
At Chip Dorsch, it's C-H-I-P.
Oh, that was
C-O-R-S-C-H.
Do it again, because I just.
She interrupted me so rudely. C-H-I-P. D-O-R. I wish you could see how you flip your head. She like does a head flip. C-H-I-P-D-O-R-S-C-H.
That's Instagram, y'all. Yes. And I just want you guys to remember that whether you're sober, this is going to be a big one.
Oh, God.
Whether you're drinking, you're not drinking, or you're contemplating if you should be thinking about drinking or not drinking, I want you to go out, live life. On the edge. God, that was such a botch. Okay. Whether you're drinking or not drinking, or you're always living off. On the edge.
Whether you want to live on the edge or take off the edge.
Oh.
How about that one?
Oh, my God.
See, I'm a copywriter.
Jesus, TM that. Is that our new thing?
Yes.
Whether you're living on the edge. Wait, what?
Taking off the edge.
Whether you're living on the edge or taking off that. But that always means that doesn't sound like an option of what if you just want to be chill and not
yeah,
drink.
Yeah, and is taking off the edge sounds like you
sounds
want
like
to drink.
Sounds like you're drinking. That's what I'm saying. Whether you're dead silent.
Maybe.
It's not, this is terrible. Yeah. We'll work on this and get back to you, but we probably won't actually. We probably never will get back
it's
to you on
this.
It's
more fun to fuck it up, right?
Okay, I guess. Some people are just like, too. Oh, God, cut. Okay, so anyway, if you're drinking or not drinking, I hope you're living on the edge and always remember to
act casual.
Jesus. Bye.